Well, all this week on RM Breakfast, we're going back 50 years in time and reliving the key moments of 1966 with historian Michelle Arrow. You can't revisit the mid-60s without talking about Australia and the Vietnam War.
Wartime memories in Sydney as 1,300 men march through the city to embark for Vietnam. They are part of the task force Australia is contributing to the anti-communist army there. Australian Premier Harold Holt left by air to visit his countrymen already fighting in Vietnam. The troop ship Sydney was ready to sail. This was the emotional time of parting. The last the men would see of their families and sweethearts for some months. In the front of everyone's mind was the thought that perhaps not all these men would come back. Australians are very much aware that if the communists won the Vietnam War, the Red threat would be perilously close. Hence, whatever the cost may be, they willingly contribute their sons and their wealth.
Michelle Arrow, the Vietnam War was underway in 1966, and so was conscription in Australia. How did that work?
So conscription is introduced in Australia in 1964, and it required all a selection of 20-year-olds. There was a birthday ballot. They did it twice a year. They did it on television, so it became this kind of slightly gruesome spectacle, I guess. It was a bit like a game show. They'd pick out dates, and so if your birthday fell on that date, then you would be required to register for national service, and you had to serve 2 years in the army.
So we have some audio of that ballot process.
Good.
Let's hear how that worked.
The ballot procedure is quite simple. Numbered marbles representing all of the birth dates applicable to the men covered by this ballot will be placed in the barrel. And after it has been spun, Sir Robert will draw the required number of marbles one at a time. Those whose birth dates are drawn are balloted in. Those whose birth dates are not drawn are balloted out. I will now ask the departmental officers to put the marbles in the barrel and spin it. And then Sir Robert will conduct the ballot.
Two, 230, August 17, February 17.
Correct.
In 1965, it was changed so it would allow overseas service. And in, I think, March 1966, Holt says, we will send conscripts to Vietnam. And I think maybe it's 2 months later that the first conscript dies in Vietnam. So it's immediately, I think, a really divisive issue. It is almost inextricably tied up with the Vietnam War itself. I think part of the sense of injustice around it was that you could be 20 and be sent to do your 2 years national service, but you couldn't vote for the government that sent you there. You know, the voting age is 21. So it immediately is framed by anti-war protesters as a generational thing, as a generational protest, I think. Although the first anti-war protesters, of course, are often the mums. You know, the Save Our Sons group is one of the first groups that kind of protests against the war. Yeah, so it was a pretty extraordinary moment, I think, of sending Australians overseas to this war. But I think, as you could hear in that audio, there was still, I think, pretty widespread support for conscription and for the war in a lot of parts of Australian society.
Did that change later in the year as conscription wore on?
Yes, I think it does. And I think certainly a couple of years later, the percentage of the population who is supportive of the war and conscription changes. But certainly the 1966, there's a federal election. So Holt goes to the polls against Caldwell, and Caldwell is very anti-conscription and kind of goes to the election on an anti-conscription platform. But he's absolutely thrashed. It's a devastating defeat. So I think even though there were some people who were very anti-conscription, the kind of general tenor of society didn't shift really until the very late 1960s, when the mood against the war changes quite comprehensively.
So this was the year, 1966, that US President Lyndon Johnson, or LBJ, visited to thank Australia for our support for the war. Here's an ABC News report about his visit.
For President Johnson, it's been a long day. He's visited three capital cities, Canberra, Sydney and Brisbane. At the airport, a huge crowd and our commentator Bruce Weber were waiting.
Here he is, the President of the United States of America. At his side, Mrs. Johnson, she's waving and so is he to this large crowd as Sir Roden doffs his hat and presents Mr. and Mrs. Johnson to the Premier, Mr. Erskine. They're in conversation now with Mrs. Erskine. The President is shaking her hand. Alongside them, waiting to be presented, the American Consul General for New South Wales and Mrs. Capella.
Michelle, that sounds like a hero's welcome, was it?
Yes, I think it was to a large extent. This is, of course, the first time a serving US president visited Australia. So this is quite an extraordinary event for Australia in a nation that is still trying to kind of reorient itself towards America much more closely. About 1 million Sydneysiders turned out to kind of greet the president. Apparently they assembled a wildlife park with, you know, kangaroos and native animals somewhere so that they could kind of see all those animals in this very short visit. But also, this is October 66. It's late in the year, and there were some anti-war protesters who disrupted the route. They had to reroute some of the motorcade because of the protesters. And this is, of course, the famous moment where Erskine reportedly said, "Run the bastards over." Whether he did or not, it's not clear, but the New South Wales Premier was so disgusted that these guys had kind of disrupted the march. So I think, again, it's a significant moment because it shows the ways that Australia is reorienting itself towards America in the wake of Menzies, but also I think the way that we can see the seeds of change happening there, you know, the end of the kind of beginnings of much more vocal and rowdy street protest against the war.
That was historian Michelle Arrow taking us back to 1966.